Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Okay, so apparently I'm not fit to be a disciple because I love my family. Jesus said, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." What? Anybody else think that sounds kind of weird? Yes? Okay, granted, a few Sundays ago, we heard how Jesus brought division to the family by undoing the power dynamics that said parents were more important than children. That's fine. But this hating the family, that seems to take it to a different level. Does Jesus really want us to hate anyone? Well, it all depends on how you define the word hate. Typically, we define it as a really strong animosity towards someone. But that is not how Jesus is using the term. Jesus is using a Greek word that has some strong Hebrew background. And it connects to the Hebrew word for hate, which is found, for example, in Genesis 29, 30 and 31. There we hear that Jacob loved his wife Rachel more than his wife Leah. And then we hear, "When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." And every time this word hate is used, it's this same idea. Basically, in the Bible, hate does not mean having a strong sense of ill will towards someone. Right? Like Jacob still loved Leah. Rather, it means that this person is not who you love the most, or this thing is not the thing you love the most. Like Jacob just loved Rachel more than Leah. So when Jesus is calling us to hate our family members, he's saying it with this Hebrew context in mind, a context that his original audience would have known. So he's not calling us to have animosity toward our family members. Instead, he's calling us to be more devoted to him than to our families. And this is very similar to a parallel saying in Matthew, where Jesus says, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Okay, fine. That kind of takes the sting out of the word hate. We get that we're supposed to have Jesus as our top priority. But honestly, this kind of raises even more questions. Three of them in particular. First, is Jesus being an egomaniac here, demanding our devotion like this? Second, since many of us do love our families, would we really put devotion to Christ before them? And third, if this is what it really means to be a disciple, then why would anyone want to do it? Well, let's start with that first question. Is Jesus being an egomaniac? No, of course not. Right? Jesus isn't arrogant or full of himself. Rather, he's just calling his followers to see the serious commitment involved in discipleship. If you're going to follow Jesus, then you need to be all in. There is no part-time discipleship here. There's no minimum you can do and squeak by. Like, have you heard about this thing now called quiet quitting? It's used to refer to people who go to work, but who only do the minimum that's required of them. They never go above and beyond the call of duty. So in one sense, of course, they're being the dutiful employees who clock in, do their jobs, and leave. Nothing wrong with that. but their heart isn't in it. For better or for worse, their identity is not tied to their job. Even though they are physically present at work, they have mentally and emotionally checked out. I bet you've had jobs like this. Or I bet you know people who have jobs like this. You just go through the motions at work just to collect your paycheck. There is absolutely no excitement about your work at all. When it comes to following Jesus, there can be no quiet quitting. There is no minimum you can do and still be a Christian. If you're a follower of Jesus, then you follow him with everything you've got. It's that serious. And it's even more serious than a job. Because most of the time at a job, you can clock out. You can't clock out of being a disciple. To go back to the family, following Jesus is a lot like parenting. Once you're in it for the long haul. Yes, there are some people who try to avoid their parental responsibilities, but for those of us who actually love our kids, you take it seriously for your entire lives. You can't not be a parent. Right? Many of you know this. No matter how old your kids get or what's going on in their lives, you will always be their dad or their mom. Same way with being a disciple of Jesus. If you're a disciple, then you can't not be a disciple. It's just who you are. That brings us to the second question. How many of us would put devotion to Jesus before devotion to our families? Right, family is important to everyone. Well, mostly everyone. And God wants us to have healthy and strong families. But there might come a time when God is calling you to do something that your family wants you to avoid, because it would shake the status quo of the family. Like maybe God is calling you to study something in school that won't earn you a lot of money after you graduate, and your family doesn't like that. Maybe God's calling you to stay single instead of get married, and your family doesn't like that. Maybe God's calling you to move to a new location, and your family doesn't like that. Whatever the case may be, sometimes God calls you to do something that will rock the boat with your family. Consider what happened when Jesus called those fishermen, James and John, to follow. I imagine they literally rocked the boat when they stepped out of it and left their father Zebedee in it with the hired hands. In one sense, what they did seems really irresponsible. Right? Imagine being poor old Zebedee, sitting there stunned and confused about how you're going to continue your fishing business without your sons. But on the other hand, we also admire James and John because they didn't let anything stand in the way of their following Jesus. Also, consider it this way. Jesus says that whoever does not hate his family and even his own life cannot be his disciple. Jesus isn't being prescriptive here. As if he's saying, you must hate your family or else I won't let you be my disciple. No, instead he's being descriptive here. As if he's saying, those who are my disciples already put me ahead of their families. So yes, this is a call to the serious nature of discipleship. But it's also a description of what disciples already do. Right, listen to the next line, too. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. This is a description of what disciples already do. Those who follow Jesus carry their cross. What does that mean? Well, it does not mean just dealing with some unfortunate situation in life. As in, well, this is just my cross to bear. No. Carrying your cross means admitting that following Jesus is going to kill you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the famous German Lutheran theologian during World War II, famously wrote in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, quote, "When Christ bids a man come and follow, he bids him come and die," unquote. When you follow Christ, your old life is gone and your new life is here. So given all this, given that we have to see our families as a second priority, given that we have to willingly embrace this tough life that will get us killed, who in the world would want to be a disciple of Jesus? All right, there's our third question. Why would somebody want to do this at all? Well, we do it. And we do it out of love. Think again about parenting. Sometimes people have called parenting the hardest job in the world. So why do we do it? Why do some people willingly take on this incredibly hard responsibility that will be with them for the rest of their lives? Why do we do it when it will completely readjust our priorities? Completely redetermine how we spend our time and our money and our energy? Why do we do it when it will present us with challenges and joys that we never imagined? We do it because we love our kids. Even though parenting is the hardest job in the world, many people have also said it's also the most rewarding job in the world, too. They wouldn't trade it for anything. I know I wouldn't. It's the same thing with following Jesus. Why do we do this really hard thing called discipleship? Because we love Jesus. And even though we have no idea what challenges we'll face along the way, even though it will completely readjust our priorities, that's okay. Because this is also the most rewarding thing in the world. We get to experience new life in Christ. A new life that none of us could have imagined before we started following it. It's like trying to explain being a parent to someone who isn't a parent. Right? You have no idea what to expect in both the challenges and the joys. And yet, in the midst of all of this, we will still fail. Jesus knows this about us. We're like the builder who couldn't finish the tower, or the king who couldn't defeat another army. We fall short. We look foolish. There will be times that we don't want to give 110%. As parents, as disciples, as people. But Jesus still loves us. Anyway, Jesus still loves you. Jesus did the extremely hard thing of being with us, of taking on our sin and of dying on the cross. Jesus was no quiet quitter. Jesus went above and beyond the expectations of a Messiah. He died for you. He already covered the cost of discipleship. He already paid that price. Yes, you are called to follow, but you don't have to save the world. Jesus already did that. That means there is no sin, no failure, no faults, no mistakes, no poor choices, not even death itself, that can separate you from the love of Christ. So why did he do it? Because he loves you. Why do any of us do this really hard thing and stick with it? Because of love. So yes, you can love your family. You can do your job. You can serve your neighbor. You can follow Jesus. But remember why you do these really hard things. Remember the one who loves you to death and back. Remember the one who calls you to obedient devotion. Remember the one who gives you the strength to follow. And remember that nothing compares to Jesus. In the name of this one who is our reason for living, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.